From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 31st day of October, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net. And we'll hear from Mark Russo at Everstream Analytics about the weather forecast here in the United States for harvest and what conditions are like for the growing seasons in South America, Argentina, and Brazil. We'll do all of that right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Hey, have you signed up yet for the Farm Assets Conference? Not too far away now, the 21st day of November. Should be a fantastic day. If you pre-register, the cost is just $80, and for that, you'll pick up the lunch at the iHotel in Urbana-Champaign. That's just to the south of the State Farm Center. The Assembly Hall, where the Illini play basketball. And we'll take up carbon markets in the landscape in the morning session, along with a look at prospects for crops in Argentina and Brazil, and the 2023 Farm Bill. In the afternoon, we'll look at Ukraine, Russia, spring fertilizer prices, and crop budgets. The supply and demand tables are supplied by the agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. Talk about the commodity markets and take a look at field crop production issues as well as the value of farmland. You can see all the details and who will be there. You can count on the Farm Doc team, the members of the WillAg.org daily programming, along with the crop scientist, all on hand, and a couple of special guests too. Again, you can find all of that online at FarmAssetsConference.com. Now, the Farm Doc team winter conference meeting schedule is a little different this year, so the Illinois Farm Economic Summits will take place, but not in December. We're kicking off with the Farm Assets Conference. That's the 21st day of November. The Farm Doc team will host that one at the iHotel. You can get details again at FarmAssetsConference.com. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits have been moved into the month of January on the 10th, the 11th, and 12th in person in Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb, and then we'll follow up with 6 one-topic events online, webinars following that from January the 19th through the 23rd of February, each and every Thursday at 11 o'clock. And we'll round it all off with the all-day ag outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Put this one in your calendar already, Tuesday, March the 7th. Again, should be a very busy winter meeting season. The Farm Doc team and Will Ag will kick it off at the Farm Assets Conference at the iHotel on the 21st day of November. You can get yourself registered today at farmassetsconference.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, as we get started for the day, just a quick note of congratulations and thank you both to Jackie Vakes and her husband, Jeff, who are retiring today. This is their last day at TotalFarmMarketing.com. Jackie, of course, has been our regular Wednesday analyst for more than a decade, and we thank her for her service on the air during the Closing Market Report and much longer than that with Commodity Week. For 26 years, she's been working with farmers and others across the nation, and I know everybody appreciates that service. In Chicago, speaking of the markets, December corn today finished 10 and 3 quarters higher at $6.91 and a half. The March at 6.96 and 3 quarters, a dime higher. The May up 9 and a half cents at 6.95 and 3 quarters. November beans at $14.07, up 19 and a quarter. January 14.19 and a half, up 19 and a quarter. And the March at 14.27 and a half, up 18 and a half cents. Bean meal futures $2.70 higher at 4.28.10. The bean oil at 73.21, up $1.42. Wheat futures soft red 53 cents higher at $8.82 and a quarter, and the hard red at 9.78 and three quarters, up 53 and three quarters of a cent. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $152.47 and a half cents, down 52 and a half cents. Feeders down 92 and a half at 179.45, and lean hogs at $84.92 and a half cents, up $1.17, rather down $1.17 and a half. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's at Ag Market farmmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. Hey, good Monday to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here for another exciting week of commodity trading.
Yeah, it's a really exciting week of commodity trading. And when you looked at the weekend, you were thinking, oh, this could be pretty tough. And then things changed with Russia and what's happening in Ukraine, I take it.
Yeah, that's the big part. But the big part is I hear we're losing one of our great analysts here. Jackie's going to be retiring. And it's been a great pleasure to work with her. She's always been a wealth of information and a ton of fun to be with at meetings. Just a quick, real short story. I can't tell them all, but one that just sticks out in my mind. We were at a marketing meeting, and her and Pete Manhart were on the panel. And they were sitting in front on a little bit of a higher stage. And they were sitting at a table. The table did not have a tablecloth on it, and they're real friendly and huggy and all this, and I don't know who did what. One stuck one reached over and patted her on the leg, and one patted the other leg, and those guys in the front row just about lost it. And Jackie and Pete looked up like, oh my God, there's no tabletop. They've got the wrong idea. So, I mean, there was just a ton of fun events we did together and saw and experienced. And I'll miss talking to Jackie, listening to Jackie, and being with Jackie, Todd.
Yeah, well, don't worry. We'll have her back. She'll be back for the All-Day Outlook, I know, at the Beef House in Covington on Tuesday, the 7th day of March. So will you, again, back to what the marketplace is doing, though. We probably ought to better cover some of that. Was it really just mostly what happened in Russia, Ukraine, and the Black Sea for today's trade?
Yeah, the commodity funds were sold quite a few wheat contracts last week, maybe 14,000 for the week. And this news came out, and so the commodity funds were covering the wheat in early trade last night, and the opening call was limited up. It did open sharply higher. There were gap openings on most of the grains as they priced in some uncertainty on that. And of course, as the day wore on here, we saw a little backing and filling. But that's how sensitive the market is. And that's one of those news items that we don't know when it's going to occur or what's going to happen or ramifications from it. But that definitely slows down the movement. Now the wheat, grain, sunflowers need to be railed out to the west. So those rails can't carry as much as a cargo ship. But that's what ignited the move higher there. Also, too, we saw a little bit of a let up in Australian forecast, but not for very long. So not only that news, we continue to price in maybe a little smaller Australian wheat crops. But that all spilled into the corn and beans. Corn kind of failed there at that $7 level in the December futures contract. November beans were able to crack $14 and close above $14 at $14.07, Todd.
So do you think the market can continue to lift? I would expect that would have something to do with how far along the U.S. harvest might be as well.
Yeah, this afternoon we're looking at corn progress as a nation 75%, beans 90% complete as a nation. That's above average. I know locally throughout the central part, bean harvest is fairly well wrapped up, and there's a few spots around, but guys are just socking it away. They're just not too interested in selling it. There's some areas that's maybe got a little overage. They're moving. But the end user continues to be patient and try to buy this grain here on any type of little pullback in through here. We just don't see a whole lot of grain for sale until after the first of the year. Seems like guys in pretty good shape cash flow wise. And if they do sell, they're taking some January pay in through here. So we're kind of optimistic in here, feeling the lack of selling is going to provide support. But to go sharply higher, we're going to need some more Russian news or some weather in the southern hemisphere.
Do we think there is any more weather coming out of the southern hemisphere? Argentina, southern Brazil already in trouble.
Yeah, there was forecasts of maybe a little bit of relief, but we're still in the early stages. Brazil's just now getting the crop in the ground. Argentina's following suit in through here. So, you know, it's just like 6 months opposite of us. So we've got a long growing season in front of us. So we'll see how that forecast unfolds, because they are forecasted to have some record production coming out of those regions. And so they are under the gun to make sure that, you know, they have a good weather forecast and a good harvest. There was some forecast of maybe a little bit of frost freeze in some areas there where the crop's up. So we'll have to see what type of damage reports we receive from that, if any at all there, Todd.
What do you find on the livestock sector side, or ethanol? I'm really trying to probe the consumption side of the marketplace. And then there's the whole Mexico GMO thing, which is a year out, but still that's kind of scary if you're a producer of corn.
Well, on the Mexico situation, yeah, we're talking 2024. The problem, that might just be mainly for food grade consumption, because there's about $1.50 premium. So if you're going to be a livestock producer, and I don't think you want to pay up $1.50 a bushel to go that route. So if this is to happen in through here, I believe that it's going to be longer term, you know, five years at the soonest, maybe 10 years out, because they're set up to have rail from the U.S. and to import grain from some other locations. I think it's going to be a little touchy and take some time. So I'm not too concerned at it right now, just because of their infrastructure and how that's set up for the most part. And livestock wise, continue to be bullish the cattle longer term. Even the hogs, if you look out in the next spring and summer, we've got some fairly high prices built in there. So we still remain optimistic on the livestock side. And that's the main part. We're seeing the ethanol sector using a lot of corn. This livestock sector is going to use a lot of corn. And the debate is going to continue to be on the export side of it. But I think the domestic use is going to be the trump card here, at least going into next spring.
Thanks much.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That is Kurt Kimmel. He is with agmarket.net. In today's agricultural news, Mexico appears to be moving ahead with its plan to ban GMO corn imports by 2024. Reuters says Mexico is considering the possibility of direct agreements with farmers in the United States, Argentina, and Brazil. Mexico's deputy agriculture minister says the 2024 ban on GM corn won't be amended in any way. U.S. yellow corn, of course, imports are used primarily for livestock feed in Mexico. Victor Suarez says Mexico will cut its imports of U.S. yellow corn by half when the ban takes effect via increasing domestic production. To fill any remaining gap, Mexico will try to make deals with farmers in other countries to grow non-GMO corn and sell it to Mexico. There are many alternatives, he says, to importing non-GMO yellow corn from the United States. These moves appear to go back on the promise from Mexico's ag minister that Mexico would not limit imports of GMO yellow corn from the U.S. Mexico, by the way, at this time, is the United States' number one corn destination. Well, U.S. diesel supplies are shrinking rapidly. America has a shortage of diesel supplies on hand, and it is putting pressure on suppliers to get more into the fuel lines. The Start magazine says the shortage is spreading in the eastern United States and has prompted at least one supplier to initiate emergency protocols. Mansfield Energy is a fuel supplier that says conditions are rapidly devolving, so they require a 72-hour notice for deliveries to secure fuel and freight. Diesel is the fuel that trucks, trains, and ships and tanks move goods around the country and across the globe. Supplies are tight, partly because Russian diesel imports are banned in the U.S., says Andrew Hunter, a senior economist with Capital Economics. He goes on to say U.S. refining capacity has fallen over the past few years, which does not help. Diesel prices hit a record high of $5.81 a gallon in June, and prices could go higher if the winter is colder than expected. Let's stay with diesel, but we'll switch to biodiesel, which has been playing a big role in California's greenhouse gas drop. California released its greenhouse gas inventory report for 2020, which showed a 16% decrease in transportation carbon emissions. Clean Fuels Alliance America says that success was due in part to increasing the use of biodiesel and renewable diesel. The state's analysis shows the percentage of biodiesel and renewable diesel in California's fuel supply grew from 0.4% in 2011 to almost 20% in 2020 through the Low Carbon Fuel Standard. California Air Resources Board data says biodiesel and renewable diesel generated 44% of the LCFS credits in 2020. As California works to continue to reduce carbon emissions, it's relying on increased production, importing, and blending of biodiesel and renewable diesel, says Clean Fuels CEO Donald Rehagen. Without biodiesel and renewable diesel, California's tailpipe fossil CO2 would have been 15 million metric tons higher in 2020. The reduction equals taking 3.2 million cars off the road in 1 year. And finally today, we'll turn to Washington, D.C., where broadband is viewed as a must for rural schools, businesses, and farms. High-speed internet is increasingly seen as a must for rural schools, businesses, and farms in an increasingly competitive global economy, a point stressed recently by USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack.
We still have to make sure, as we did with rural electrification, that everybody has an opportunity to take advantage of this.
And Secretary Vilsack says that means getting high-speed internet everywhere across rural America.
Businesses obviously can expand significantly their network, their ability to sell, not just in their own geographic area, but literally worldwide. Educational facilities now have the ability to link up. Oftentimes in rural communities, it's sometimes difficult to have the broad array of courses that young folks may have in other schools and urban centers. So now with high-speed internet, there's an opportunity to access some of those advanced placement courses, for example.
He also says farmers benefit from the edge the internet gives them.
Farms benefit to the extent that they're using any form of precision agriculture. The ability to have access to internet is also going to give them the ability to properly market their grain or whatever it is that they're buying or selling on that particular day.
USDA just announced a $759 million 24-state effort, including the third round of Reconnect and Infrastructure Act funding to deploy more rural high-speed internet, while a much bigger pot of infrastructure money will go to areas with little or no service. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Let's check in now with Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics and has the latest forecast for harvest and wrap-up of such in the Midwest across the Corn Belt for us, along with a look at what's happening in South America. I've outlined a couple of things, I suppose, in advance of our conversation here, Mark. But thank you for being with us. Why don't you start here in the Midwest? Begin with rainfall that we have had, please.
Well, Todd, over the weekend, there was some rain activity, particularly central and southern areas of the Corn Belt, and enough to at least, cause some very minor delays in harvest progress, but nothing that significant. In fact, the biggest impact was actually helping stabilize some of the river levels here, which is obviously badly needed. And as we look ahead for the forecast for this week, we do see some additional rains across the central portion of the country. Most of the rains will be biased a little bit further east, so west of the Mississippi River, but actually that will help in rivers such as the Missouri River, which will then feed into the Mississippi River. So again, we're not solving the river issues or causing any kind of major delays in harvest progress. But certainly more rain in the pattern compared to what it has been of late.
Is it a pattern change that you think we can count on going into the early winter months?
Tough to tell right now, Todd. Certainly in November, the start of first half of November certainly appears to be that way. But in December, too early to tell right now. And especially given the La Nina going on, that actually is a signal that points away from any kind of major improvement during the start of winter.
What does the Southwest or the Western Corn Belt slash to the Southwest, the wheat, hard red winter wheat growing regions look like today?
Yeah, they're certainly seeing some increased rainfall prospects there, especially in the areas that need it the most, including in that Kansas. The next opportunity for rain and significant rainfall is going to be taking place from the end of this week into the first part of next week. We are expecting around 35 to 40% of the hard red belt picking up significant amounts. But the one item to keep an eye on is, as we go through this week, is does the forecast here ease in the drier direction, or do computer models continue to maintain what looks to be at least an okay rain event for especially the heart of the hard red winter wheat belt?
Turn your attention to South America, begin in Argentina and move your way northward. What are conditions like?
Well, Argentina saw a little bit of rain here over the weekend, and combined with some additional rains last week, they've seen at least some improvement in their soil moisture situation. But a lot more rain is still needed to make up the long-term soil moisture deficit. And for the next couple of weeks, the pattern will feature drier than normal conditions across much of Argentina, along with a variable temperature pattern. So we're not seeing any significant follow-up rainfall here coming up. So Argentina remains an area to watch here, both during planting as well as longer term in the heart of the season with the ongoing La Nina event. And then further up north into Brazil, over the past week, there has been some improvement in soil moisture in far southern Brazil and Rio Grande do Sul, an area that started to trend a little bit drier here recently. And looking ahead, we're not seeing any issues developing really across any areas of Brazil, as most areas see generally normal rainfall, although the next 7 to 8 days or so will be dry across much of Brazil. We see rains returning the middle of the month to help, maintain or further improve soil moisture.
One other question for you. This one's a little different, but has to do with some of the things that you monitor as it's related to energy supplies and use across the United States. I suppose across the planet, I'm wondering about natural gas logistics over the last year, given what happened in Russia and Ukraine, and how Europe has handled that and what that's meant here in the United States.
Yeah, well, certainly the most sensitive issues have been in Europe. And actually, right now, things have, at least the start of their heating season, there's been some easing of concern because of the really warm temperatures that have prevailed throughout October. And now it looks like November is also featuring warmer than normal temperatures. So that is reducing early season heating demand and taking a little bit of pressure off. Now, a lot of the or at least some of that gas has come over from the U.S. As they've built out their storage, Europe storage over the summer. And here in the U.S., currently the storage is below the 5-year average, but not in any kind of super sensitive mode from where we stand here going into the early portion of November. And right now, at least from a early season heating demand standpoint, things are starting out, a bit warmer bias. There's a little bit of cold around, but there's no sign right now of any kind of, early cold start that would result in significantly heightened heating demand at this early stage of the season.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. There you'll find a way to get yourself registered for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up the 21st day of November. You don't want to miss that. The Farm Doc team will kick off its winter meeting season there. The Illinois Farm Economic Summits, normally in December, are now in January. There will be 3 of those. They are in Mount Vernon, Peoria, and DeKalb. The Champaign event is November the 21st. The Farm Assets Conference, the Farm Doc team, the crop scientist, and the Will Ag brokers all together in one space, and you can too. Get your tickets today.